Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. We'll read verses 8 through 14 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 19, verses 8 through 14. Psalm 19, verses 8 through 14. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for our church. Lord, this morning early as we got up thinking about church, Lord, it's always a Christmas morning here because we get to gather as family around your word, thinking about you. Father, help us to focus on the preaching of your word by your chosen man for us. Give us your power as we listen. May our minds be focused on you. May we do that which would please you. Fill our preacher with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Again, this morning I will preach to our congregation as usual. Next week, being the official day of Christmas, we'll have a Christmas sermon. I call the sermon today Bible Training Concerning Social Networking and Media. I want you to understand something. Those of you, and of course we live in a new day and a new age, the social networking, and that's things like Twitter and email and texting and YouTube and Facebook and blogging. We now live in a generation where that is very, very, very common. Well, God always would then give us guidelines, and God would always give us a way to do those things that are right to do. He would give us guidelines in regard to it. Please remember this. Social networking was not created because somebody cared about you and they wanted you to have a better social life. It was created because somebody wanted to make money. Don't ever lose track of that. It's out there. The intent is to make money. And so always keep that in mind. There's a thing that's called Facebook, and they're making billions and billions of dollars off of Facebook. Someone without my permission actually put my name up on Facebook, put our church's name up on Facebook. And, Brother Young, a page. Is that what they would call it? There's a page there for me and for our church. But because I'm a public figure, it's okay. I don't mind that it is there, but I didn't put it there. And someone actually put one up for our church, and we didn't put it there, didn't request it. And, but I want to talk to you about it. Now, I want you to listen to the words that we read a moment ago. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's what God wants. God says, let the words that come out of my mouth and the meditation that's in my heart be acceptable in his sight. And he is our strength and he is our redeemer. So you could throw in there what I type with my fingers. So the Bible here, God is telling us whatever we think about, whatever we talk about ought to be acceptable in his sight. That's what God wants. Now, let me tell you right off the bat. I'm not against the modern media. I'm not against it. I'm against its misuse. I think we can take something good and misuse it. I'm not against guns. I'm for guns. I'm against the misuse of guns. I think you ought to take the guns away from the criminals is what you ought to do. Modern media, though, social networking, it's kind of modernized sin. It has many, many benefits. You're not looking at a guy that's against it all. I'm not. But if it's not used properly, there are a lot of sinful dangers to it. Some of the technology and what you can do with it is fantastic, and it can be so helpful. Well, just like anything else though, you take something that is good, and if you're not careful, it can be twisted into bad. And guns aren't bad, people are bad. And that's where we get into trouble. I fear for our youth. I fear for housewives. Have nothing to do all day long but be on that computer. I fear for simple people. I fear for our teenagers. Listen to this. The average teenager, and we got some statistics off the internet. The average teen spends 53 hours a week using digital media. 41% of teens have posted on the internet something that they later regretted posting. 37% of teens use sites to mock other teenagers and students, and they use those very same techniques mocking authorities in their life. 25% of teens have created profiles using a false identity. 13% have posted nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves online. I want to read a couple of things to you. Again, I'll use names. These are posted. They're available publicly. Tyler Clemente, a shy 18-year-old Rutgers University, that's in New Jersey, freshman, with a passion for playing the violin, jumped to his death from the George Washington Bridge on September 22 of 2010. His last words posted on his Facebook profile about 10 minutes before he died were, "Jumping off George Washington Bridge, I'm sorry." This occurred after a sexual encounter he had with a man in his dorm room, which was a video streamed over the internet without this young man's knowledge, and he went out and killed himself. Jessica Logan was a petite, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Ohio high school senior who committed suicide after sexting a nude photo of herself to her boyfriend. When they broke up, he sent the photo to everyone else at her school. Jessica was cruelly harassed for months by the other girls at the school who called her a slut and a whore. When Jessica's grades dropped, she started skipping school. When she did go to school, she would hide in the bathroom to avoid being teased. Jessica Logan decided to tell her story on a Cincinnati television station. Her purpose was simple. "I just want to make sure no one else will have to go through this again." The interview was in May of 2008. 2 months later, on July 3 of 2008, Jessica attended the funeral of a boy who committed suicide, then came home and killed herself. Her mother found her hanging in her closet with her cell phone on the floor nearby. Now, once again, let me say to you, there are dangers, and we need to be very careful. We live in a new day and age. There are some of you who are a little older, maybe you're senior citizens, and maybe you're not into what we'd call the social networking much. But it's here, and it's here to stay. Let me, as your pastor, give you some guidelines. Let me help you with it. Let me show you. My intent is not to attack it, but I am going to tell you, I'm going to give you some warnings about it. You know, if a social networking site is used properly, it could be fantastic. It could be used to communicate with family, help missionaries and loved ones. The internet has some wonderful educational opportunities. Nothing wrong with that. Businesses use the internet and some of these connections to achieve success. It's like a computer. The computer itself is not bad. It's the person that's using it. But I must say that the new technology can be very spiritually dangerous. Now, listen to this, and here's a little bit of my personal logic. I think the social networking and the computer makes sin easier. It makes it easier. Because it is so convenient to do, to get, to say things that you shouldn't. I'm going to tell you about me. I'm not telling you about you. I'm going to tell you about me. I don't get involved in it much. I use the internet to check my email. I think I do. Is that true, Brother Young? I'm a technology dumb bunny. But let me tell you this. I would have to avoid a certain amount of this social networking because of my weakness as a Christian. Me. Man, if I knew at my fingertips I had the availability of pornography, the devil's liable to get me in all sorts of trouble. So I'm real careful. I don't want to put myself in harm's way. I'm afraid that if I got to talking back and forth to people I don't even know on the internet, I might be saying things that who knows what. So your pastor has chosen to avoid most of it just because of my own personal weakness as a Christian. I know me. I'm a weak Christian. I'm not a good Christian. So I keep myself as far away from bad things as I can. And remember, I don't think it's all bad. I think they're fantastic things here. We have a website here at our church, and we're setting it up so we can email back and forth. We didn't get it done this year, but we want to be able to email information to our members, and we're doing all of that. All I want to do, folks, is I am standing before a group of people that I love with my whole heart. I've given my heart to this church, and I'm watching the social networking, I'm watching the internet mess some of you up. And I want to teach, and I want to tell you some things that if you'll listen to me, they're going to help you. Number one, I worry about those of you that are involved in the social networking, but you're not reading your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. You blog daily, but you don't read your Bible daily. Now, come on. You don't even have to be a good Christian to agree with that. You tweet daily. Yesterday, tweet is when you're on Twitter. I think they ought to call you a twit instead of tweet. But you tweet daily, but you don't read your Bible daily. There's got to be something wrong with that. You text out of this world and read text, but you don't read your Bible. You read your email religiously, but you don't read your Bible religiously. You have formed an internet habit, but it's not a Bible reading habit. Matter of fact, you formed a habit for your all of this, but you do not even have a habit of reading your Bible every day. You can't be a good Christian if you're not in the Bible on a regular basis. So I'm challenging some of you. I'm trying to tell you something. How could you let something like that take over your life habitually and you won't even read your Bible by habit? Something missing there. Yes. Number two, watch out. I know some of you that are involved very much so in the social networking, but you don't even have a prayer life. The Bible says in Luke 11:1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See, you will talk to others habitually, email, blogging, tweeting, texting. You'll talk to them habitually. Let me ask you a question. Do you go to prayer every day habitually?
Good.
Hey, blogger, how's your prayer life? And I'm not talking about this prayer. God bless the food, amen. Who have you put before God and they're more important than God? Have you prayed 15 minutes this week? Let's check your cell phone bill minutes and compare it to your prayer time. Everybody. Those of you got your phone out right now being disrespectful in church. You habitually talk to others through these mechanisms, but you will not habitually talk to God. He feels rejected. Y'all believe in prayer?
Yes, sir.
Or is that just something that you talk about? Number three, watch out for this social networking craze now, and then there's no soul winning.
Yes.
Acts 20, verse 31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The apostle Paul said, night and day I warn people about their need of salvation. He was a soul winner. Paul said, night and day I'm telling people about Jesus so they can get saved. You are on Facebook night and day. But when's the last time you personally won a lost person to Jesus Christ? Night and day you're on Facebook. Night and day you blog. Paul said night and day I was worried about people dying and going to hell. Hey, yeah, if you want to get up at midnight and you want to be on Facebook, I'm not telling you whether you're doing right or wrong. I am telling you this. It's a pretty sad thing that you would do that night and day. But when's the last time you witnessed to anybody and they got born again?
Yes, sir.
You blog at midnight. Paul was at midnight getting people saved and baptized. There's people here. Actually, you're at home on Facebook when we're having Thursday night soul winning. Or Tuesday ladies soul winning. You say, do I have to come to Thursday night soul winning? No, but you ought to be going soul winning. Let's go on, number four. Social networking, texting, the whole thing in the church services. In the church service. I've already looked out. I already know there are people looking at phones while I'm preaching. Right now, I'm talking about it. Do you have any idea how disrespectful that is? What in the world has happened to us? 1 Corinthians 11:22 says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. You know what he said? You're despising the church. Texting in church is wrong. It's wrong. Well, you should be listening. Did you miss that beautiful song that Mrs. Owen sang a minute ago because you were busy playing with your cell phone? Do you have any idea how much work this choir puts in?
Yes, sir.
A sermon? So are we going to play with our cell phones and text while a sermon is being preached? It's wrong for you to be playing with your phone. Or your iPad, is that the new notebook deal? You're playing with that thing and instead of listening to the preaching or listening to the Sunday school class. It's wrong in Sunday school. It's wrong during church on Sunday morning. It's wrong during church on Sunday night. It's wrong in the teen program. It's wrong on Wednesday night. It's wrong during funerals. I just about had it up to here with cell phones going off during funerals. Somebody's loved ones passed away. We're trying to comfort everybody and you got cell phones going off. God knows, folks, are we that disrespectful for the grieving? You're hurting yourself. You're hurting those around you. Those of you that have texted or pulled your phone out already during church, and I'm not mad at you. Surely you see my spirit. I'm trying to help you. But you already frustrated somebody else. I mean, somebody behind you has already seen it. Somebody that wouldn't have pulled their phone out has now pulled their phone out because you did yours. You're hurting those around you. You're hurting the one to whom you're texting. You say, well, they're not even here in church. I know. It's too bad that they know during church you're playing. And I'll tell you one thing you really do. You really frustrate your pastor. I have to work so very hard to know that you're so disrespectful that while I'm preaching, I can tell you're looking at your phone. There have been times I've gotten off track in my preaching. I've missed points in my preaching by looking out, knowing that group of teenagers right there, that man right there, that woman right there in the balcony. They're up there playing with their phone, and it frustrates me while I'm trying to preach the Word of God. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. Turn your phone off. You say, I need to stay connected. I gotta stay connected. I gotta check my phone. I gotta check those messages. I gotta check those texts. Let me ask you this. Are you that passionate about checking to see if you're walking with the Holy Spirit all day long? Are you all day long saying, oh, am I walking in the Spirit? Oh, I gotta check to see if I'm in the Spirit. Oh, I gotta check to see if I'm in the Spirit. You are so connected to that telephone and to that internet and to every text. You are more submissive to whatever's going on that stupid phone than you are the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, all day long. I check it. Can't go to church. Can't go to the bathroom. Can't go to a funeral. All day long. Do you walk with the Holy Spirit of God? To that degree, is it all day long, Holy Spirit of God? I want to be in submission to you. I want to do right, say right, listen right. Or do you have a problem?
Good.
You're not sticking a needle in your arm, but you're addicted, aren't you?
That's right.
Number five, watch out the social networking and it being hidden.
Yes,
hidden. Deceptiveness. Psalm 19:12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Parents, there are children in this room, grade school, junior high school, and high school. Parents, there are children that have hidden from you what they're doing on the internet. They have set up accounts that you know nothing of. They have set up accounts under false identity. Young people, it is a sin against God for you to deceive your parents. If you're hiding anything from your parents with your phone or your computer, you're not right with God. Young people hiding it. Well, why are you hiding it if you're not doing anything wrong? Husbands. Husbands should not have hidden accounts from their wives. I'm not saying that every wife ought to go grab her husband and take a look at it, but I am telling you this, you shouldn't have anything to hide. Wives hiding from their husbands. In a congregation this size, I would be shocked if there's not some man or some woman that has some relationship going on through social networking that is an inappropriate relationship, either through their texting, their blogging, or their Facebook page, something going on that's destroying your marriage, and you're hiding it from your husband, or you're hiding it from your wife. That's deception. That's wrong. It was wrong right out of the gate. Should have never been that way. Mrs. Owens and I keep all lines of communication open. I am so stupid when it comes to a computer. She didn't have a lot to worry about. I have to ask her, how do you turn this thing on? But we keep everything on the up and up. The use, and then there's some of you are hiding it from your wife. You're going to work and you're hiding what you're doing from your boss. You're using work time and computers and your phone on work time, and you're hiding it from them. Everywhere, people use false identities as they're setting up their Facebook accounts and in their blogging. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. God sees it all, though, just so you know. Hey, it's something you all should know. And I've talked to some people that understand criminal technology. They said, whatever you have put on your computer and on your phone, you say, I erased it. They can recall it. All of it. All of it. Spoke to a man that works for the FBI. Said, you think you can erase it? We understand cybercrime and we know exactly how to get it off your phone. So he said, I erase it. Nobody can ever see it. That's what you think.
Right.
Number next. I'm concerned about our social networking and saying things to people that we would never say in person. Saying things to people. And about people, just saying things that we would never say if we were standing face to face with someone. John, 2 John, verse number 12 says this, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy might be full. Here, John said, I want to say what I say face to face. I'm going to tell you all something. Not being with someone and you typing it gives you a boldness and even a foolishness that you wouldn't normally have. There are people in here, you have said things, typed things, and written things that had you been face to face with someone, you would have never done it. But you have built a sinful confidence because you're not looking in someone's face while you're writing. Some of you have told someone off. You could do it through a text, but you couldn't do it face to face. But you knew it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You knew the way you handled yourself was wrong. Why? Because through your text there is no spirit. There's not that cushion of attitude and facial expression. It's like you don't feel responsible for your words since you blogged it. Well, you're responsible for everything you say. Again, I say, I'm not against it. I told you it could be used right, but if it's not used right, then it's going to be used for wrong. And I think sometimes what we have is we have such easy access to doing wrong. How would you feel if we printed everything that you've texted, blogged, and if we printed it all up on paper for the last month and distributed it to the church? You say, oh my. We shouldn't be doing it then.
Right.
I like this. This is about a cell phone. Jackson was moving toward California, and on his way to the city, he stopped at a local market and went to the washroom. The first stall was taken, so he went in a second stall. Soon he heard a voice from the next stall. Hi there, how's it going? That was okay, but Jackson was not a person to strike up conversations with strangers in the washroom on the side of the road. He did not know what to say, but he awkwardly said, not bad. Then the voice said, so what are you doing? Jackson thought that was kind of weird, but he said, well, I'm heading back to California. Then he heard the person say, look, I'll call you back. Every time I ask you a question, the idiot in the stall next to me answers. Listen, I think the modern technology, I think our cell phones are fantastic. I think the ability that the internet has made available to us, it has so many positives to it. But wait a minute. If it's not handled scripturally, if it's not handled with some good common sense, you will destroy yourself. And I'm watching it affect the young people in our church. I'm watching it affect marriages in our church. And we have got to be careful, folks. We need to continue to serve the Lord in a modern day of technology. Thank God for it. But let's not let it be a curse to us. For instance, watch out for the social networking and the danger of giving out private personal information. Private personal information. Young people are known for getting on the network and then beginning to trust somebody somewhere, and before long they're giving out social security numbers and names and how many people live in the household and what time dad's gone, what time mom's gone, when we're alone in the house. Yeah, folks, you understand how dangerous that is? Telling possible burglars when the house will be available. Posting pictures of yourself that some bad person would like to have. Good. Be careful. Pictures of the family. You understand identity theft? You understand cyber crime? Young people talk to strangers giving out personal family information just because they say, well, I've got to have somebody to talk to. Well, talk to Jesus before you go talking to some weirdo on the internet that you don't know. Social networking. Watch now. Watch the immorality. It's opened up a brand new avenue. And it's not new. The internet's been spreading filth and garbage around. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Now, you listen to me and you look at me very carefully. Pornography is vile sin. You say, I'm strong enough. No, you're stupid. Wouldn't have said that until you said you were strong enough. If I were you, if you have a problem with it, I'd rather have no internet and go back to a dial telephone and be a good Christian. The gambling that's available on the internet, the scams, the cyber crime, the cyber bullying. Again, people get on the internet and attack, be rude, mean, and they wouldn't do it in person. They'll do it in blogging, but they wouldn't do it in person. Why? They don't feel responsible. There's a disconnect to reality. You ought to treat people right whether you're standing right with them or not. Next, let me warn you about the social networking and the sexual predators that are out there. Galatians chapter 5 verse number 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness." So you understand, predators are seeking minors. They're seeking minors, and they use the tool of Facebook and they use the tool of the internet to seek out minors. They set up false identity, start communication, often then convincing a young person to come somewhere and meet them. Predators are seeking women. I'll just tell you, it affects me, and maybe I'm just too old-fashioned. I think I'm scared to death of Christian ladies going on the internet to try to find them a man. I'm just a little old-fashioned. Now, I'd like for you to meet them down at the church house. And just be careful. God knows I'd be petrified if my daughter were looking for a man on the internet. I'd be petrified. Some ladies are so desperate. And I'm not telling you. I can't tell you it wouldn't turn out right sometime. But I'm scared to death for people. And again, maybe your pastor's just old-fashioned. But good night, I'd like to see the person. I'd like to, you know, there's needs to be some sort of a lifestyle that's revealed, and not just internet. And again, I'm not telling you it couldn't turn out right. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I don't know about some of you, but that scares me. It just scares me. There are approximately 700,000 registered sex offenders in the United States of America, and the internet is used as a tool for them to draw in their prey. Stats say one out of every five teenagers say they have received unwanted sexual solicitation via the web. One out of every five. So if we brought all the young people up here, we counted down, we could show you one out of every five has received something that was a solicitation for sex of some sort on the internet. I'm going to talk about our kids too. You don't understand. They don't, the internet doesn't say, well, those are good kids down there from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Don't send them any of the junk. No, they're going to get it too. They're going to get it as well because they're going places on the net that they ought not be going. You know the pop-ups. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Let me go on. Number nine, social networking can become a tremendous waste of time. A tremendous waste of time. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For instance, you look at me. There are young people in this room. I've got teachers in here that would testify to this. There are young people in this room. You're flunking school. But you wouldn't have to if you just shut your computer off, shut your cell phone off and study.
Yes, sir.
Teachers, they poured their heart into students that cannot pass. It's not because the student couldn't pass, because the student's addicted to their technology.
Yes.
And I'm for technology, if it's used right. There are ladies in this household, no, church house. There are ladies in this church. If I came to your house today and I looked at it, you'd be embarrassed as snot. Say, preacher, I don't want you to come over today. Why? Well, my house is a wreck. Why? How much time did you spend blogging, texting? How much time did you spend surfing the web? Your house is a pigsty. Let me ask you. Maybe you need to put your technology away and get your broom out. Take a zoom through town. No, shouldn't have said it. Bad timing. There are people in this room, you have hour after hour after hour of time to blog, to text, to tweet, but you have no time for a church bus route. There are people in here, you won't even come to church three times a week. You stay home on Wednesday night and you're on your computer. I think that's wrong. There's some of you, you will not do your work at work because you're busy using your phone, using the computer at work to do things that you should not be doing, and you're stealing from your boss. You're stealing from your boss. The cell phone thing is out of hand at most places of employment. Totally out of hand. You see, I'm afraid that if you're not careful, you're going to get so caught into this thing that you're going to waste too much time. You're wasting your life. I was recently preaching for a guy, and he was kind of picking at me. And he said, Brother Owens, could I blog with you? I said, well, I don't blog. I don't know that it's blogging is bad. I said, I don't blog. He said, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens. If you could get a little more technology savvy, you might get a little more work done. I said, it offended me. I said, do you think I could have a church the size of yours and get as much work as you get done if I could get technology? He got quiet completely. He said, I think I'll leave the guy alone. I'm not against it. I'm for it. And he's probably right. Maybe if I can upgrade myself technology-wise, maybe I can get more done. But let me tell you something. I don't want to upgrade technology-wise if it's going to cause me to lose my testimony. I'd rather be an old-fashioned preacher that don't know anything about it and still be pure and be married to my wife.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to have the power of God on me in the pulpit, and you can't get that through the net.
Yeah.
Let me go on. Social networking in it and the obsession of it. It has become an obsession for people. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. There are people in here, you are technology addicted. There are kids in here, you are addicted to your computer games. Some of you are more faithful to check your email than to pray, to read your Bible. You talk for no reason. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Are you an addict? Are you a blogging addict? Are you a tweeting addict? An internet addict? I mean, you get up in the morning and right to that computer. You're up until 1-2 o'clock at night. Can't hardly wake up in the morning. Late to work because of it. You're an addict. You know what addicts do? Addicts let their life fall apart while their addiction is consuming them. Let's go on. I've got to hurry. Social networking and the dangers of what we call the disconnect to real people. I call it being disconnected to real people. Psalm 62 verse number 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Here, God said, you want to pour your heart out to somebody, pour your heart out to God. You want to pour your heart out to somebody, husband, pour your heart out to your wife. You want to pour your heart out to somebody, wife, pour your heart out to your husband. You children want to pour your heart out to somebody, you pour it out to your mom. You pour it out to your dad. You pour it out to your God. But this junk of pouring your heart out through your blogging is dangerous. See, there are families that are growing apart because of other relationships on Facebook. If you're closer, every woman here, every man here, if you are closer to anybody on Facebook than you are to your own husband or your own wife, that's wrong. You young people ought to be closer to mom and dad than anybody on Facebook. You ought to trust mom and dad and love mom and dad and obey mom and dad, and husbands and wives ought to be close to one another. I'll tell you this. You know, there's a lot of things I want to say. I just had to get loud to wake a couple of you up that were up all night surfing the web that can't pay attention this morning. People talk in chat rooms, but not at family dinner table anymore. Teens feel they don't need their youth department anymore because of all their so-called friends on Facebook. And so you know, those aren't real friends. They won't be there at your funeral. They won't visit you at the hospital. They won't have a youth activity for you. So you have no time for mom. Girls, when was the last time you went in the kitchen just to help mom? You're too busy. I'm with my friends. You got some really dorky friends if you can cram them all inside that little 4-inch square piece of plastic. Oh! And you've got a real live mother making cookies. No time for dad. No time for your husband. No time for your wife. You don't even need the New Testament church in its activities and fellowship. You've got friends that live in a little plastic box. Hey, am I calling it right or what?
Yes, sir.
Then you have the social networking and the problem with the gossip that goes on it.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." Hey, and remember, I'm not against it if it's used right. I'm against it if it's used wrong. Online gossip is still sin.
Yes, sir.
The destruction of people. The character assassination. There are people in this room that have said things about their pastor they would never say to me, and they would never say it in person. I know about it. I've seen some of it. I've had people print it off their computer and bring it to me. So some of you know. That'll suck the air out of the room.
Yeah, man.
What are you laughing at? You're the one. Here's the good thing. I love you and I'm your friend. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
You should say nothing in a chat room that you wouldn't say publicly with good Christians. The biggest promoter of evil. Remember the sermon last week? Biggest promoter of evil today are chat rooms and Facebook. People being destroyed. You shouldn't be attacking your spouse through your texting with somebody else. Your church or your parents. And remember, I'm for the cell phones, I'm for the computer, I'm for the internet, I'm for it being used properly and right. You say, preacher, I'm connected Facebook and my list of my friends are missionaries and people that I love and they're decent Christians. God bless you. But the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You're supposed to be separated on the internet just like you would anywhere else. You say, but I'm not with them physically, but in word and deed you are. Social networking and the weakening of people skills. Personal social skills. Exodus 33:11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Face to face. You know, some of you need to learn how to get along and communicate with people face to face. Hey, some of your social training is coming from from Facebook, or your social training is coming from a computer or technology, but you're not really good with people. If you get around people, you can't talk. You're almost a social hermit. You're a social recluse. You say, but I'm on social networking. Yeah, but you need to look in somebody's eyes and see what you said and how it hurts them. You need to watch what you say and how it makes somebody cry. You need to learn how to laugh with people without using filthy words. See, I'm fearful that when you get around real people, because they can't see your emotions, because you can't put emotion into texting. Some of you don't know how, you're not going to be a good soul winner that way. Some of you, there's some young men in here. I think someday you'd like to be a preacher. Well, I'll tell you something. You're not going to be a successful preacher just because you blog. You better learn to get around people.
Yes, sir.
Communicate with people. Live people.
Yes, amen.
Watch the people skills. Next. And I'm coming to a closing point here. Only got 12 more points. I think of the social networking and all of this that I'm talking about. And the expense of it, and then there are some that won't tithe. Malachi 3, verse 9 and 10 says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not enough room enough to receive it. Now listen, if you're spending all sorts of money on your cell phone bill, but you can't tithe, there's something wrong with that. There are people, fancy $500 cell phones, but no faith promise giving. All sorts of people. Young people. Young people have enough money for all their technology, but they can't give anything toward Old Paths Baptist College. Internet service, but no giving, no tithing, no offering. That's not right. That can't be right. Your pastor is not an enemy of technology. I thank God for it. I thank God for it. And I also thank God for a Bible that is so easy to understand that God gives us some guidelines and makes some good common sense of how we ought to be living and behaving the way it ought to be. This technology is with us to stay. Let it be for good, not for bad. There's some of you ought to make some adjustment. Let me tell you, there's nobody on Facebook that can save you from hell. Just Jesus. He doesn't have a page. This is His book. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you ought to get born again. You ought to get saved. The Bible teaches everyone is a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. What you need to do is turn to Jesus Christ and say, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior. You ought to get saved today so you can go to heaven. I realize I've not preached the gospel today. I've tried to keep God's people safe so they are healthy enough to preach the gospel. But I say to you, if you're not saved, we'd like to see you get born again today. Get saved. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask that question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Who here would say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven someday. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand? I see a hand already. You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. The Lord can forgive you of your sin. He can take you to heaven someday when you die. There's another hand. If you're not saved, why don't you, during the altar call today, you come. You just walk up to one of the men that will be standing down front and say, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come and present yourself for baptism. I wonder, and I do not say this to embarrass you. I say this because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to preach this sermon the right way. I want to preach it in love. I want the people to see. I'm not against it all. I'm against it just being misused. And I'm trying to warn you and help you. But I believe there are people all over this building that could say, preacher, I need to adjust something in regard to the sermon today. Who here could raise your hand and say, I need to make some adjustments because of the sermon today. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the place. There ought to be more hands up. There's some of you are lying to yourself. You may put your hands down. If you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation for us. If you're not saved, whether you're in the balcony or the lower floor, you come, walk up to one of the men down front and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You can leave this building today on your way to heaven. If you've been saved and you never made it public, why don't you come and let us help you with it? If you've been saved and never been baptized, why don't you present yourself for baptism? Hey, if you've been saved and you've been baptized by immersion after your salvation and you'd like to join our church, you come. Don't forget. So habitual. So quick to check the email but not spend time with God. So quick to check the text but not walk with the Spirit. So quick to say what we would not say if we were there in person. The introductory verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Choke up the passwords. There's some wives have been very deceptive. If your husband knew what you were up to, just so you know, God already knows you're in bigger trouble than with your husband. There are husbands that are hiding things like this. Let's get it right today. Let's not let this destroy us. God loves you. Your preacher loves you. And those of you that somebody comes clean, why don't you show a little mercy and grace and thank God that they did. Just say, thank God they got it right. Thank God they fixed it. Thank God. Somebody will have to take a stand the next time you're blogging and very politely say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to talk that way anymore. Set the alarm on your cell phone for walking in the Spirit instead of texting with somebody you shouldn't probably be talking to anyway. Give me one more verse. Go through it one more time. Old-fashioned Baptist church with a handful of verses during the invitation time. Instead of just singing one, if we don't sing any, thank God for it. This will be the last verse.